ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय तथेन्द्रियोपदामोथा रस्तात्मानि परेहरौ नियन्ते तदा क्लेशा संसुप्तस्येव कृत्स्नशः.
When the senses are satisfied in the seer super soul, the personality of Godhead, and merge in him, all miseries are completely vanquished as after a sound sleep. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The quivering of the living entity as described above is due to the senses. Since the entire material existence is meant for sense gratification, the senses are the medium of material activities, and they cause the quivering of the steady soul. Therefore, these senses are to be detached from all such material activities. According to the impersonalists, the senses are stopped from work by merging the soul in the supersoul, Brahman. The devotees, however, do not stop the material senses from acting, but they engage their transcendental senses in the service of transcendence, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In either case, the activities of the senses in the material field are to be stopped by cultivation of knowledge, and if possible, they can be engaged in the service of the Lord. The senses are transcendental in nature, but their activities become polluted when contaminated by matter. We have to treat the senses to cure them of the material disease, not stop them from acting as suggested by the impersonalist. In Bhagavad Gita 2:59, it is said that one ceases all material activities only when satisfied by contact with a better engagement. Consciousness is active by nature and cannot be stopped from working. Artificially stopping a mischievous child is not the real remedy. The child must be given some better engagement so that he will automatically stop causing mischief. In the same way, the mischievous activities of the senses can be stopped only by better engagement in relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the eyes are engaged in seeing the beautiful form of the Lord, the tongue engaged in tasting prasad or remnants of foodstuff offered to the Lord, the ears are engaged in hearing His glories, the hands engaged in cleaning the temple of the Lord, the legs engaged in visiting His temples, or when all the senses are engaged in transcendental variegatedness, then only can the transcendental senses become satiated and eternally free from material engagement. The Lord is the Supersoul residing in everyone's heart, and as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world far beyond the material creation, is the seer of all our activities. Our activities must be so transcendentally saturated that the Lord will be kind enough to look upon us favorably and engage us in His transcendental service. Then only can the senses be satisfied completely and be no longer troubled by material attraction.
We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 7, entitled Further Inquiries by Bidur, Text Number 13. In this chapter, Vidura is asking very important, relevant questions to the great sage Maitreya. O great Brahman, since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the complete spiritual whole and is unchangeable, how is he connected with the material modes of nature and their activities? If this is his pastimes, how do the activities of the unchangeable take place and exhibit qualities without the modes of nature? Boys are enthusiastic to play with other boys or with various diversions because they are encouraged by desire. But there is no possibility of such desire for the Lord because he is self-satisfied and detached from everything at all times. By his self-sheltered potency of the three modes of nature, the Lord has caused the creation of this universe. By her he maintains the creation and conversely dissolves it again and again. The pure soul is pure consciousness. It is never out of consciousness, either due to circumstances, time, situation, dreams, or other causes. How then does he become engaged in neshas? This is a very fundamental, essential philosophical query. If the soul is transcendental and part of the absolute truth, how could that soul, which is of superior nature, para prakriti, how could it come under the influence of illusion? How can it become overcome by ignorance? If the soul is satchit ananda and it never loses its quality, how can it come in a state of ignorance? Actually, Srila Prabhupada explains that the soul is transcendental. What really is suffering is caused by the ahankar, or the false ego. The soul, in one sense, is not suffering, but it is identifying with suffering due to the ego. Srila Prabhupada explains in this chapter how when a child is naughty in school, the teacher may threaten the child that if you do not behave properly, I will cut off your head. And after cutting off your head, I will hang it up and you will have to sit in your desk and look at your head. And then Prabhupada explains, actually, sometimes in a dream this happens, where your head is getting cut off and you're watching your head getting cut off. Now, could anyone watch getting their head cut off? Even after the fact? And you see your head laying on the ground, and you're standing there watching it, crying, thinking, my head is cut off, it's on the ground. That can happen in a dream. Sometimes in a dream you even see yourself with somebody, falling from a mountain or doing some game, but actually can you see yourself in that way? Can you see your body performing all of these activities? So it is a dream. It is a dream that you're watching your head being cut off. In the same way, all of our activities within this material existence. We're dreaming that we are under the three modes of material nature's influence.
due to the false ego, due to this dream state.
Srila Prabhupada explains that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He is Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. He is the supreme controller of material nature. Therefore, He can never come under the influence of the modes of material nature. The spirit soul is always transcendental. However, the spirit soul can enter into this type of dream state where it conceives or thinks that it's under the modes of material nature. And in this particular verse and the previous verses, the example is given. Just like the moon is reflected on the water. Now, if the water is very still, the moon remains motionless. Similarly, one who is very much in the mode of goodness, the mind is very still. But when the water is moving due to agitation, that it seems that the moon is moving. But actually, is the moon moving? In the reflection, it is. But actually, the reflection has nothing to do with the moon. It's simply a reflection of the moon. Similarly, the spirit soul, which is part of God, is like, Prabhupada gives different analogies. One, he explains, Krishna is the cause of all causes. He is the source of everything that exists. And the jivatmas are His energies, just like the rays of the moon. The Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva philosophy is explained in very simple terms in this way. Just like the sun and the moon is the source of all rays of sun and moon. The rays are part and parcel. They are of the same quality, but still, they are only infinitesimal parts. You cannot say the moon ray is non-different than the moon. And at the same time, you can say the moon ray is non-different than the moon. Qualitatively, it is. Quantitatively, it is only a part. So the rays of the moon emanating from the cause of all causes, Krishna, is what's actually coming upon the water. The moon never comes upon the water. It's only the moon rays. And the moon rays have the tendency to be agitated by its particular environment. Therefore, Krishna is always transcendental. When He comes to this material world, He's never under any influences. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yobeti tatvata tyakva deham punara janma naiti mameti soraja. If we simply understand this principle with realization, we'll never take birth in this material world again. But we will attain the Lord's eternal abode. That Krishna's birth and activities are transcendental. Krishna descends to this world out of His causeless mercy to dispel the illusion of the conditioned souls. But the jivatmas, who have infinitesimal quality of infinitesimal quantity of independence, have the choice whether they want to come under the control of material nature, which happens spontaneously and automatically as soon as we want to be the enjoyer, as soon as we want to be the proprietor or want to be the Lord. Another example is given, or analogy, that if we take the jivatma, or the living entity, to be like the moon never touches the water. But if the moon is looking at its identity in the water and thinking, that is me, which is a dream state, then it identifies with all the various agitated quiverings of the water. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, he came with a simple message. Jeev jago, gora chanda bole, kota nidra kayo maya, pisa chira kore. That wake up, sleeping souls, wake up. You are sleeping in the lap of maya. And how to wake up? The simple formula is to chant the holy names. Prabhupada explained that when you're sleeping, in sound sleep, if someone puts a sign in front of you saying, wake up, Prabhu, you probably won't take note of it. But if someone calls in your ears, wake up, Hare Krishna, then you will wake up. What's the difference between an alarm clock and a regular clock? A regular clock tells the time, but an alarm clock makes sound. So sound has that power of penetrating sleep and waking us up, even on the gross and subtle platform, but especially on the spiritual platform. Golokera premadana harinam sankirtana. Therefore, the Lord has descended from Goloka Vrindavan in the form of the name to wake us up from our sleeping condition, to restore us to our original natural consciousness. When Srila Prabhupada explains Mahamantra in that very famous lecture that he has given and recorded as well, he explains that Krishna consciousness is the original natural consciousness of every living entity. But somehow or other, that consciousness has been covered since time immemorial by this sleep, by this ego. The mind and the senses are so very, very powerful. This is explained in this verse. Srila Prabhupada is explaining how powerful the mind and senses are, because they are conditioned by the ropes of, they're conditioned and controlled by the modes of material nature. If we study Srimad Bhagavatam very nicely, we find from the very beginning of the creative process of the cosmic manifestation, how the modes of nature are working, how they are orchestrating and influencing everything that exists. They're very powerful. Guna also means rope. If you are bound by the ropes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, and we understand how powerful these modes are, Daivi Yeshu Gunamayi. They're Krishna's potency. Srila Prabhupada says that when we are in illusion, Maya is as powerful as Krishna. Maya is all powerful. For a conditioned soul, Maya is all pervading and all powerful. You cannot conquer. Daivihe shukunamayi mama maya durati. Only if you surrender to Krishna and he frees you can you overcome the ropes of material nature. There's no other way. So when these ropes of nature are pulling your mind and pulling your senses, how long could we withstand? Therefore we find many great yogis, Vishwamitra and others, they perform such type of tapasya that no one could possibly even attempt in the present day. But ultimately, they were conquered by the modes of material nature. So yes, these modes are very, very, very strong. To try to stop the mind and senses can possibly be done by some very, very rare, rare souls, temporarily. But it's virtually impossible.
for practically anyone.
Therefore, when we understand that originally our senses are transcendental, in this purport, Prabhupada explains this, actually our senses are transcendental. They're not material. Because ultimately everything is transcendental. If we understand its connection to God, the difference between transcendental consciousness and material consciousness is simply whether we whether it is conscious of its relationship with God. Transcendental activities and material activities are simply on the basis of consciousness. One person is sweeping the floor of their house so that they can enjoy life with their family, and another person is sweeping their house because they're conscious that this is the temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It must be spotless clean. So they're doing the same thing. They might even be in the same house. One member of the family is sweeping the house one day because he wants the neighbors to think, oh, we are very nice, we are very clean, and get some prestige, and he can enjoy better with. And then the other brother is sweeping the house thinking, Thakurji, the Supreme Lord, Sri Radha, Shyam Sundar, who are living in my house, this is their abode, let me make everything so nice for you. They're using the same broom on the same floor, and they're sweeping the same dust. But one is transcendental and one is mundane. It is just a matter of our consciousness. One is seeing truth. Nashito vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate shato. One is performing his activities using his or her senses for that which is temporary. Therefore, it is unreal. Unreal means, doesn't mean the floor doesn't exist, or the body, or the broom, or the dirt doesn't exist. Unreal means it's a misconception. To see anything separate from Krishna is illusion, because everything is emanating from Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate. All material and all spiritual worlds are emanating from me. To see anything separate from Krishna, to not understand how everything is meant for the enjoyment of Krishna, bhoktaram yagyatapasam sarva lokamaheshwar, that is unreal. That is an illusion. That is a dream. The only reality is to understand how Krishna is the proprietor, the controller of everything. Everything emanates from him, and everything is meant to be used in his service for his enjoyment. That is truth. Everything else is illusion. It is a lie. So transcendental consciousness, transcendental senses, is when the senses are used in Krishna's service. So originally, your mind and your senses are transcendental. Even the present mind and senses, they are transcendental. But due to the influence of the ahankar or the false ego, we're thinking that this is my mind and my senses, and they are to be used for my enjoyment or the enjoyment of other people of this world. That's material mind and material senses. But as soon as we just make that connection that this is Krishna's body, this is everything is meant for Krishna, and your senses are transcendental. So in this sense, what Prabhupada is explaining here is wonderful. God has created everything transcendental. It's just our failure to recognize everything's relationship with God that is the cause of all material bondage, ignorance, and suffering. So Prabhupada is explaining here from the Bhagavad Gita, Vishayavanivartante niraharasya dehana rasa varajam rasopyasya param drisva nivartate. That material activities of sense gratification are very, very difficult to overcome.
In a previous verse, yatato hyapi konteya purushasya vipaschita indriyani pramatini haranti prashamamana.
The senses are so strong and impetuous, Arjuna, that even a man of discrimination is overcome by them. Now these words are very powerful, strong and impetuous. Perhaps all of us have this experience of how the senses are so strong and impetuous. What does the word impetuous mean? It means they just never leave you alone. An impetuous person is just somebody you just want to get away, but they just will never leave you alone. It's like sometimes when devotees are distributing books, people think they're impetuous. They just won't leave them alone till they give a donation. But the senses and the mind, which is the sixth of the senses, the king of the senses is the mind. They're impetuous. They never leave us alone, no matter what arrangement we make. We're so frustrated by the mind and senses, we just go to sleep. Sometimes people in the Western world, practically 80% of people who are very wealthy, they take sleeping pills. Because they just can't tolerate the mind and senses day and night. They just have to artificially go to sleep and forget it. Well, what happens? The impetuousness. As soon as either they'll get you in your dreams, or as soon as you wake up, they're right there. It's not that you're just... they go somewhere else. They never leave. Wherever you go, whatever you do, the mind and senses are always right there to haunt you like a ghost. Impetuous. And very, very strong. Arjuna explains that the mind is more difficult to control than the wind. How powerful. Even the great powerful nation of America with so much money and so much military and so much technology. A few years ago, there was a wind, a hurricane, that was on the Atlantic Ocean and it was heading toward Cape Canaveral. I believe it, Cape Kennedy it has been renamed. This is the capital of where all their multi-billions of dollars of space research. This is where they launch the rocket ships to wherever they go, circling the world or supposedly to other planets. Billions and billions and billions of dollars there. And the biggest brains of space science based there. Yes, something like that, Chipperar? And yet, just a wind was coming. And what did they do? The President of the United States, all the biggest people in the nation practically of politics and science, they were coming together. What are we going to do? And ultimately, they came to the only possible solution. Run away. Just evacuate. They couldn't move all their billions and billions of dollars of paraphernalia there. So just take what we can get and just evacuate. And actually, everybody that worked there just ran away. It's practically deserted. That is the power of the wind. With all their atomic nuclear bombs, all their soldiers, all their computerized technology, they could not withstand one wind that was created by God. Wasn't created by the Russians or the Indians or the Pakistanis or the Chinese. It was just created by the ocean and some mixture of different types of humidity and dryness and everything like that. However a hurricane or a cyclone is created, just by nature. So powerful. All they could do is run and hide. Just hide from it. And by the sense of humor of Maya Devi, after all that, they spent millions of dollars just evacuating.
just to run away.
The hurricane never even came there. It just went somewhere else and destroyed it.
So when Arjuna says the mind is more powerful than the wind, that's very, very strong statement.
Yatato yapi kaunteya purushasya vipaschata indriyani pramatini haranti prashamamana.
So strong, so impetuous, that even a wise man of discrimination falls down to them.
But what's the solution? What is the solution? Vishayavanivartante nirahara rasavarajam rasopyasya paramdrisvanivartante.
The mind and senses can be overcome only when they experience the higher taste. It is the only possibility. And that is what differentiates bhakti from every other school of spiritual thought. The impersonalists, they want to annihilate the mind, annihilate the senses and all of their attachments through discrimination, through tapasya, through various types of meditation. But it's very, very, very difficult. And even if you do achieve it, it's only a temporary situation. Because anandamayo byashat. Because the soul's nature is to look for pleasure. And the pleasure that the soul is naturally longing for is the pleasure of loving the all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. That is our constitutional nature. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his the opening of his instructions to Sanatana Goswami, Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. Unless we understand this, everything else is in the wrong direction. That the spirit soul is eternally the servant of Krishna. Therefore, this body that the soul is in is actually meant for the service of Krishna. But due to forgetfulness, simply that forgetfulness, we use the body and we use the mind for any other purpose, it creates the bondage of karma. And we know how karma works. On one level, for every action, there's an equal reaction. But there's something worse than that. Every time we engage in any karmic activity, the inclination, the attachment for that activity becomes more deeply rooted and strong within our hearts. Very dangerous. If we think we're going to get some relief from the pressures and anxieties of this world by doing some kind of sense gratification that is not favorable for Krishna consciousness, it's actually a very dangerous situation, because you do it once because you have the inclination, but because you do it that one time, the inclination is nourished. The inclination within your heart is reinforced and developed. That's how Maya works. Just like when you water a seed, the plant gets the weed. When you water a weed, the weed becomes stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. So the Lord explained that these material attachments for enjoyment are like weeds within our heart, whether they are gross attachment or subtle attachment. The pleasures of the five senses or profit, adoration, and distinction, they are weeds that since time immemorial have been covering and choking our spiritual nature. And every time we go to enjoy, the weed becomes stronger. The inclination becomes more empowered.
Tani sarvani samyamya yukta asita matpara vasehi asyandriyani tasya pragya pratishtita.
This is Srimad Bhagavad Gita. That one must restrain the senses.
And Krishna says, the six senses which include the mind.
One must restrain the senses.
The Mayavadis, the impersonalists, they also restrain the senses. But then Krishna gives the other half of the solution.
Simultaneously with restraining the senses, we must fix the consciousness on me, on Krishna.
When we take initiation, we basically make these two vows, to restrain the senses and fix the consciousness on Krishna.
That's what these vows are about.
Srila Prabhupada, on behalf of our beloved acharyas, has stressed this. There are so many principles within the Vedic literatures that we are meant to follow when we take initiation. But these two vows we actually speak before Guru, Vaishnavas, the deities, the sacred fire. No illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. That means these grossest forms of sense gratification, which are most incriminating. We will restrain our senses from doing that. In one beautiful lecture, I believe it was in California, Srila Prabhupada was speaking very strongly about giving up sense gratification. And devotees were simultaneously enlivened to hear him speaking. But you know, if they really looked introspectively in their heart, it was very intense, very heavy. He's telling us to give up sense gratification. And at the culmination of this brilliant lecture, Prabhupada said, and when we teach them, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, so many no's, and the demons, they will die. Thank you very much. Jai Srila Prabhupada. How is that? The demons, they will die. Because factually, they live for sense gratification. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his glorification of Haridas Thakur, he says, Vaishnavas die to live and live to spread the holy name around.
That was Thakur Haridas. He lived to, you can't take it away from him.
When the Malecha king and the Qazi, they apprehended him, brought him before the king, they said, Haridas, because actually the king was very attracted by Haridas's qualities. He was beautiful. He was respectful. He was so compassionate and loving, even to his enemies. He spoke nice philosophy. He said, Haridas, just stop this preaching. That's all you have to do. Just stop this preaching of Hare Krishna. After all, you have your own religion. What will you gain by following somebody else's religion? Just read your own scriptures, teach from your own scriptures, but stop this preaching. And Haridas Thakur was simply honest. Simply honest. What he was asking was impossible. He said, I cannot. Krishna has awakened. The Lord has awakened himself in the form of Krishna and in the name of Krishna in my heart. And therefore I have no choice. The Lord is all compassionate. I'm his instrument. I'm his puppet. I can't stop. You can cut my body into millions of pieces, but you can never stop me from promoting the glories of the holy name to everyone I meet. So they said, all right, you have a choice. Either stop preaching or die by being beaten in 22 marketplaces. And Haridas Thakur, he gave a very nice reply. He said, if a Hindu became a Muslim, what you would want the Brahmins to do to that person to punish him is what you should do to me. Very logical. But they did not accept it. All right, then you will be beaten 22 marketplaces until you're dead. Haridas Thakur, he lived to spread the holy name around. That was his nature. So similarly, materialistic persons, they live for sense gratification. So Prabhupada explains, so many no's, the demons, they will die. They can't live. How will you live? Even in the Western world, when a devotee tells their parents, we don't do the... How will you live? What will you do? Impossible. That Lord Jetland told Prabhupada's godbrother, he said, can you make me Brahman? He said, yes, you just follow these four regulative principles. He said, Impossible. How will I live? And this was actually a very cultured person. So the mind and senses are very strong. Like the wind. The ropes of material molds that have activated and actually manifested the whole universal creation has your mind and senses bound up. So strong, so impetuous. But here, the solution is given. If we simply, with sincerity, with humility, offer the activities of our mind and senses in the service of the Lord with some sincerity, then Krishna's pleased. Sam Siddhir Hari Toshanam. And when Krishna is pleased, He takes control of our life. He helps us to overcome all obstacles. In Sri Chaitanya Bhagavata, it is described that all the obstacles on the path of a devotee, they're servants of Krishna, that help a devotee to actually take shelter of Krishna more sincerely, more desperately, more helplessly. And Krishna reciprocates accordingly. When Draupadi was trying to hold her sari on, Dushasana was pulling, she was losing the battle. But when she realized she was utterly helpless, utterly hopeless, then in total desperation, with fixed consciousness, there's no other shelter, she raised her arms and just cried out Krishna's names, which are not different than Krishna. Hey Krishna, hey Govinda. And Krishna just appeared right into her sari. What a wonderful incarnation. He just appeared right in her sari and made it unlimited. Because of the intensity, the sincerity in which she took shelter of the holy name. So really, Krishna consciousness is about taking shelter. Daivi yeshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mam evamye prapadyate mayam etatarantite. Prabhupada quoted this verse so many times, as did our acharyas. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. When you're in this deep dream state, you can't wake yourself up. The dreams you have at night, somehow or other, you wake up. But this dream of illusion, material illusion, it's a perpetual dream.
You remain in this dream, birth after birth after birth after birth. Could be millions of births, billions of births, and no one has any power to wake themselves up because they're in the dream. Only those who are awake can bring us out of that dream. Daivihi shugunamai mama maya duratyaya. But we must access that mercy. How? By taking shelter, by surrendering. Krishna descends into this world of dreams. Bhagavad Gita, when a devotee distributes books, what are you doing? It's such an incredible service. It's such a transcendental activity. It's not something ordinary. A person is in this dream since time immemorial, has no power, has no way, has no means of getting out of the dream. And you're actually coming and giving them the association of a pure devotee of Prabhupada and of Krishna. You're giving them Krishna. And by giving them that contact of Krishna, you're actually giving them the means to wake up. We are the book, which is Krishna's words spoken through Krishna's pure, intimate, loving servant, is actually, what is the word? Infiltrating our dreamlike state to wake us up. What an incredible phenomena. What a transcendental activity. Just intervening within a person's dream state, which has been going on for millions and millions of lifetimes, and giving them the means by which they could wake up, by giving Krishna. That is what association of devotees is about. Intervening in a person's deep sleep. Giving that person the opportunity to wake up. But to actually wake up, there's a free will within this dream state that must be exercised. And that is the free will to take shelter. To the degree we take shelter, to the degree we surrender, to that degree Krishna will reciprocate and remove all the boundaries of material bondage and reveal himself. Srila Prabhupada understood so deeply Krishna's heart, the heart of compassion, to somehow or other just awaken that inclination to take shelter of the Lord by using our mind, using our senses, using our lives in our natural position of servants of the Lord and transcendentalizing everything. See this beautiful temple, so much wonderful, wonderful marble and wood, steel beams, and whatever is here. It's the spiritual world. Radharas Bihari Temple is not a material place. It is the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada explains that his temples are non-different than Goloka Vrindavan. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in a purport, Prabhupada explains how a temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is non-different than Goloka Vrindavan. Because the activities within that temple are dedicated to the service and the pleasure of Lord Krishna. This is transcendental knowledge. Actually, the same slabs of marble and the same craftsmen. They're building someone's bathroom in another part of Juhu, and they're building the pillars of this temple with the same block of marble, and the same people are carving it. Yes? One is a bathroom for some Bollywood person, and another is one of the pillars of Radharas Bihari's temple. Well, what is the difference? One piece of marble is actually transcendentally the spirit. It's the spiritual world. And one is just a mundane bathroom. Because connection to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada simply wanted to use everything, all material resources, transcendentalize it, bring it back to its natural, original position. Natural, original position simply means to take off the layer of forgetfulness of its relationship with Krishna. And this can be done very simply by awakening our consciousness, by associating with the devotees of the Lord, and learning how to surrender, learning how to take shelter, learning how to use everything for Krishna. And chanting the holy names. Harinama, 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 Bekevalam, Kalo Nastev, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatir Anyatha. And then we understand that we are all full moon in the sky of Krishna's eternal Leela. And we stop identifying with that reflection that's in the ocean of material existence, constantly quivering back and forth according to the waves of the moles of nature. I thank you very much. And I have gone over time. I'm very sorry. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.